We're going to dive right in. I want to drop an anchor text in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." How many of you can testify that old things have passed away and Jesus has made everything new? Amen. I want you all to pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your presence that's in this house. God, we thank you for the promises of your word. Father, right now, I just ask for your anointing. God, and even through the foolishness of preaching, God, that this word would just touch our hearts, heal our hearts, mend our hearts to create us to be made more like you, Jesus. Father, I pray you give me the grace to preach. And Father, I pray that I won't say anything that you don't want me to say. So Father, we welcome you here. We welcome you now. We ask that you would have your way in this place in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen and amen. You may have heard of a huge figure in the faith by the name of St. Augustine. St. Augustine, he was a bishop in the early church, and he was one of the Latin fathers of the church, and he was perhaps one of the most significant Christian thinkers that came along after the Apostle Paul. But St. Augustine, he was obviously known to be a great saint of God. But it's said that before he was saved, before he surrendered his life fully to Jesus Christ, that he lived with a prostitute. And after he was wonderfully saved, he was walking down the street. He surrendered his life to Jesus. God had been making some changes in his life. Old things passed away, everything being made new. He was walking down the street and he heard his name. "Augustine, it is I." It was her, the one that he had lived with. "Augustine, it is I." He kept walking a straight path. He kept his eyes forward. He kept moving, didn't even want to acknowledge. But she cried out and probably even came up and read to him, "Augustine, it is I." To which he stopped, he looked, and he said, "I know, but it is no longer I." 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone," tell your neighbor, "anyone, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." Tell your neighbor, "The old is gone, the new is here." Listen, anyone who is surrendered to Jesus isn't just better. They are completely new by the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to share a passage of scripture that I believe Jesus shares this prodigal in such a powerful way that relates to all of us. Luke 15:11-24. I'm going to read a few verses, but I want you to check it out. It's words in red. Jesus said it. Tell your neighbor, "Jesus said it." Luke 15:11-24. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Verse 14, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." Verse 17 says this: "When he came to his senses," tell your neighbor, "he came to his senses." Come on, church online, type it in. "He came to his senses." "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up, went to his father, and while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. How many of you can testify this morning that you were once lost, but you are now found because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Come on, somebody. I believe that Jesus paints this beautiful picture of his grace, the love and the grace of a loving heavenly Father. But I believe that we are much like that son. You know, that son, he did not just wake up one day and decide that he wanted his inheritance and he would just take off and he would leave. No, he had probably been wrestling within his heart for quite some time about the decision he was going to make. He had been struggling. The enemy had filled his life and his thought life with all these thoughts. Maybe he had the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and he just wanted to go and just experience a wild life and living like everyone else out in the world. But I believe we can relate. You know, I think there are moments when the enemy tries to distract us and he puts thoughts in our head and he whispers lies to us. But there are moments in our life when I believe, like that prodigal son, that we still smell with the stench of sin from what we did yesterday, from what we did last week, maybe what we experienced last month, or even last year. And so we have these issues, these hurts, these habits, these hangups, everything going on in our life. And we have these moments of conviction from the Holy Spirit. And then maybe we have moments of regrets. Maybe we have moments just like we're in right now when we're coming in to a new year and we know changes need to be made. We know that we need to do something different. We know something has to change. We want to be made new. We want to experience new life through Jesus Christ. So we say things like, well, I need to do better, or I need to try harder. I just need to be more intentional. I need to be more intentional about my life and my relationship with God. Some people even go as far to fix their problems by saying things like, you know, I just need to go to church more. I just need to get more religious. Hey, let me stop you right there and let me help you for a moment. Religion makes you nice. Religion is just behavior modification. Only Jesus Christ can make you new. Can I get a witness this morning? Come on, tell your neighbor, Jesus makes you new. Church online, type it in the comment section. Tell somebody, Jesus makes you new. Only Jesus makes us new. Listen, it is a new year, and I believe with all of my heart that God wants to do something new in your life. It is a new year. He wants to give you a new life. He wants to give you a new you. He wants you to experience his fullness and everything that he has for you. Why? Because his mercies are new every morning. And I believe that some of us, we desperately need God to do something new. Maybe you've even had that prayer and you've been talking to God, you've been asking God and saying, you know, God, I need you to do something new in my faith. I need new faith. I need new hope. Maybe you need God to do something new in your relationships that you navigate through. Maybe you need God to do something new by bringing a healing in your body. Maybe you need God to do something new within your family, and your family needs to be mended back together. Maybe that healing needs to be transpired within your family. You need God to do something new within your family. Maybe you need God to do something new by giving you fresh wind, fresh vision, fresh fire to lead your family or lead your business or lead in your home or in the community. You just need a new freshness, a new passion, a new zeal for God. We just need God to do something new. But many times when we're going through that feeling and we're praying that prayer, God, do something new. Make me new. I want to be made new. And we often get hung up on how is Christ really making me new? How am I made new? Because I don't feel new. I don't feel any different. I just don't feel it. I just don't feel like, but it's not always about feelings. But I want to help you this morning. If you've asked that question, how am I made new in Christ? Number one, we are free from our past. So many people get stuck in their walk with God because they can't get past the past. Let it go. Let God move in your life and let him do something new. Ephesians 1:7 says it like this, in Christ, everybody say in Christ. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood. The what? Oh, come on, somebody. The what? The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Listen, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you have surrendered your life and your heart to him, you're not just different, but everything is made new because of the power and the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness this morning? Come on, somebody. Bless Jesus. Thank him for his blood and his sacrifice. Everything is made new, whether you feel it or not. Listen, your feelings are not facts. And your feelings are not final. The fact of the matter is, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's not about you. It's not about what you do. It's not about your good works. It's not about your religious efforts. It's not about your church attendance. It's in Christ that we have redemption, all because of Jesus. You know, Romans 6:4 says this, gives us a great glimpse of baptism and the symbolism of it in Romans 6:4 says this, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have what? We too may have new life. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, new year. New life. Tell them, new year, new life. Church online, new year, new life, all because of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1 shares with us and teaches us about condemnation. And sometimes because of the past and our hangups with the past, we beat ourselves up and we think, I'm not holy enough. I'm not worthy enough. I can't be everything that God wants me to be because of what I did back then or what I experienced back there. And we get hung up and we beat ourselves up, and the enemy whispers lies to us and he condemns us as well. Listen, condemnation pushes you away from the presence of God. Condemnation, beating yourself up, or allowing the enemy to beat yourself up, it pushes you away from the presence of God. You have no desire to listen to any worship music. You have no desire to read the word. You have no desire to pray. You have no desire to come to church, all because of the past and what the enemy has lied to you about. That's condemnation. Condemnation pushes you away. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit draws you near to God. He draws you near. He's saying, I'm here. Come back home to me. I'm with you. I'm walking with you. Just come back home. Just talk to me. Just share with me what's going on. Condemnation pushes you away. Conviction draws you near. Romans 8:1 says this, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That means your permanent record is clear. In fact, there is no record at all. He has forgiven you. He has set you free. And I think sometimes that we need to forgive ourselves and we need to let go and we need to let God, because we are free from the past in Jesus' name. Are you thankful that he's freed you from the past? So we are free from the past. We are also free from our hurts. We all get hurt. There's no way around it. We're going to experience hurt in our life. Maybe somebody has done you wrong. Maybe somebody said something to you in such a negative way that it crushed your heart, it crushed your spirit. Maybe somebody took advantage of you. Maybe you are struggling with hurt in your life due to loss, grief, or regrets. Whatever the case, I believe there's moments in all of our life that we struggle and deal with hurt. And there's no way around it. And so we question, why me? God, like, why am I dealing with this? Why did this have to happen to me? I'm living my life right. I try to serve you, but why do I have to experience this hurt? I don't have the answer for you. But what we do have is the word of God and what Paul teaches us in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. He said this, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all." Everybody say in all. In all, in all, in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ Jesus. You see that thing that you're experiencing, that hurt that you're dealing with, that pain? It's going to be used to comfort somebody else. As long as you don't let that hurt control you, consume you, and affect every aspect of your life. You know, there's going to be times when you may overcome hurt, and time will go on, weeks, months, years, and you're going to think back to that incident where you got hurt, and you're still going to feel hurt because the past can hurt. But I'm here to let you know that there is a difference in just feeling hurt as opposed to letting that hurt control you, consume you, and affect your actions and your attitudes and everything that you do in life. It's time to let go of that, and it's time to let God use it for his glory, because he has comforted you. He is the God of all comfort, and you can comfort those who are in need because of the power of Jesus Christ. I know you can't do it on your own, but he can do it through you. Come on, you ought to give God praise right there. You can't, but he can. Because that setback, that hurt, it becomes a setup to be a blessing to those around you. And what the enemy means for evil in your life, God always means for good. So if you've experienced hurt, let go. Surrender it to God. Give it to God. He catches every tear that you have ever cried. He knows your pain. He hears your cry. Surrender it to him. Let him have it. Let him use it for his glory. Let him use you, work in you and through you, so that you can be a blessing to others. We are free from our past. We are free from our hurts. And lastly, we are free from our habits. You wives can elbow your husband. We're free from our habits. We guys can have a lot of bad habits sometimes. You know, we're free from our habits. Sins are forgiven, but habits often stick around. And we've surrendered our life to Jesus, or we've asked him for forgiveness, and then we just have these habits, these habitual sins that just keep raising their head every now and then, that we keep falling into. And so we say, you know, I love God, but I still struggle with this, or I still struggle with that. I love God, but I still look at this, or I still watch that. I watch something that I don't need to watch. I look at something that I don't need to look at. I still say things that I don't need to say. I love God, but I still have these anger issues, and I still lose my temper, and I still have fits of rage every now and then. And I love God, but I still have these addictive behaviors and these addictive tendencies. And, you know, some people even go as far to say, you know, I got it under control. I love God, but I'm just managing my sin. I'm just managing it. I got it under control. Listen, let me help you right now. We don't manage our sin. We confess it. We surrender it to Jesus Christ. We don't manage the sin. We confess it. That's why James teaches us, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Jesus forgives the sin, but there is healing when you confess it to somebody. There's healing when you confess it to him. Aren't you thankful that Jesus brings forgiveness and healing through the power of confession? Come on, give Jesus praise this morning. We don't manage sin, we confess it, and we are free from the habits. You know, every day we have a choice, and we must put forth the effort to live a life that has been made new. Listen, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to have it all together. We're going to have moments where we stumble and fall short of the glory of God. It's not about perfection, but it's about living a life of repentance before God. But we must put forth the effort every day because we have a choice. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24 teaches us this. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Tell your neighbor, put off your old self. Put off your old self. Come on, church online, type that in the comment section. Put off your old self. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Verse 23, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self. Tell your neighbor, put on the new self. Come on, tell somebody with authority, put on the new self. To put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We have a choice each and every day that if we want to live in the newness that God has created for us, old things have passed away, everything has been made new, the former life is gone, the new life is here, and we want to continue for God to do something new in our life, we have to put on the new self. Just like you wake up in the morning, and you go to your closet, and you pick out the outfit that you're going to wear, and you put it on. We have to make a conscious decision every morning to put on Jesus Christ, to put on that new self. And while we're at it, if we want to continue to live in the newness of everything that God has for us, I believe it's time to start living and moving and acting in a new fashion. While we're at it, maybe we can do something new by making room for the presence of God in our life. Maybe we can begin at the start of this new year, January 1st, 2023, begin to open his word and read his voice. Let God speak to you through his word. Make room for his word. Maybe we can make room for God through prayer in our life. We talk to God, and I promise you, God will talk back to us. Maybe you can begin to take some time, carve out a little bit of time in your schedule, and make time to pray and talk to God. Maybe you can create an atmosphere of worship, and you can put on worship music in your home in the mornings as you're getting ready. You can throw on worship music as you're driving to work or school or wherever you're going, but being conscious of creating an atmosphere of praise and worship. If you want to experience the newness of God and everything that he has for you, try doing something new and making room for the presence of God. Maybe we should make room and do something new by continually to give above and beyond with our tithes and our giving with a spirit of generosity. Maybe we carry a spirit of generosity to people we come in contact with. Man, if you want Jesus to do something new in your life, put on the new self. Maybe we begin serving in church. Maybe we begin plugging in. Maybe we begin to get connected. Maybe we get a part of a small group. We want to experience something new in our life. Maybe it's time. Maybe this is the season. Maybe this is the moment that we try something new and we experience everything that Jesus Christ has for us. Jesus wants to give you new life. New life. Why? Because his mercies are new every morning. You know, I think that's something that we often overlook in our life, that his mercies are new every morning. Because we can get so caught up and so hung up on the past, on the hurts, and the habits that we overlook the new mercies that he has for us each day. And every morning. Tell your neighbor, new year, new life. New year, new life. As the worship team begins to play some music, I want to circle back to that parable that Jesus had taught about the prodigal son. And we notice that Jesus said, when he came to his senses. We're the same way. Sometimes we just have to come to our senses. Maybe we're wrestling with issues of the past. Well, I'm here to tell you today, come to your senses. Jesus has always been there. We just got to return. Maybe you've been struggling with hurts. You're brokenhearted. Well, I'm here to tell you, come to your senses. He binds up the wounds of the brokenhearted. Maybe you've been dealing with some habits. Let's come to our senses. His grace is sufficient for us at any moment, at any time. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, the new creation has come and the old is gone. Like the prodigal, we sometimes have to come to our senses. You know, while that son was so far off, we're just like that. So many times we feel like we're so far from the presence of God. And it's not that God ever left us. God has never left you. We left him. He's been there all along. When the son was afar off, that father came running. He came running, threw his arms around him, hugged him, kissed him. And that's the same thing our Savior wants to do for us when we come to our senses and we make a decision to return to him and allow him to begin to do something new in our life. That father put a ring on a son. That ring represented power and authority. Do you know that because of the blood of Jesus, you have power and authority over every element of your life? Over those hurts, those habits, the past, you have power and authority over all of those things. That father said, let's kill the fattened calf. Let's throw a party. Anytime anyone ever surrenders their life to Jesus or makes a fresh start in him, the angels rejoice in heaven at their return. And there's a party going on in heaven. And still covered in the stench of pigs and sinful living, looking and smelling nasty, that father said, let's throw a robe around him and let's put sandals on his feet. That robe represented royalty. That son was just asking for a place of the servants. He just wanted to be like the servants. But that father restored everything that was lost. And Jesus Christ wants to restore everything that the enemy has tried to kill, steal, and destroy in your life. It's a new year, and it's time for a new life. And it's time to take hold of the power and the authority that we have through Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness one more time on a Sunday morning? Listen, I get it. It's not by your own might. It's not by your own power. Not by your own strength. Not even by your religious efforts. It's all because of the grace of Jesus Christ. One more time, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. That religious behavior, it'll make you nice, but only Jesus Christ will make you new. Jesus makes all things new. Tell your neighbor, Jesus makes all things new. Come on, tell somebody, Jesus makes all things new. I want to leave you with this one thought this morning, and I want you to take this with you. And that is, Jesus is not trying to improve our life. He's not trying to give us a better life. Jesus wants to give us new life. If you are thankful for the grace and the power and the blood of Jesus to give us new life, I want you to give him praise one more time on a Sunday morning. Come on, bless him for his sacrifice. Bless him for giving his life. so that we could have new life. I want you to stand with me all across this room. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to be in a mindset of prayer. If you're with us at church online, I encourage you to hang out with us for a few more moments. Be in a mindset of prayer. But if you're here in this place and you've been wrestling with issues of the past has been holding you back from what Jesus wants to do in your life. Or maybe you've been dealing with hurt that you haven't truly surrendered to God. Or maybe you just have some habits that keep raising its head in your life that you know need to be surrendered to Jesus Christ. Again, old things can pass away. Everything can be made new. If that's you, and it relates to you, dealing with the past, hurts, or even habits, and you need a fresh start in Jesus Christ, you need Him to make something new, and you want to surrender it all to Him, I just want you to lift your hand in this place. Amen. 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 Keep those hands lifted. I'm going to ask you again. You need a fresh start in Him because you've been caught, hung up on the past, the hurts, and the habits, and you want to surrender those totally and completely to Jesus and experience a fresh start. Just lift your hand. He wants to make all things new in your life right here on January 1st, 2023. Maybe you're here and maybe you can say, you know what? I've never fully surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. But today, for the first time at the start of this new year, I want to give my life totally and completely to Jesus for the very first time. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand in this place to surrender your life to Jesus. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to put your hand over your heart. And I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. And right where you're at, I just want to encourage you to talk to God in your own way. Begin to surrender those hurts. Begin to surrender the issues of the past. Begin to surrender the habitual sins in our life and accept the grace and the forgiveness that He has for you as He makes all things new in our life. Father, we thank You so much for the promises of Your word. Lord, right now we surrender our life totally and completely to You. Lord, we give You every sin of the past. We give You the mistakes of the past. God, we give You the hurts of the past, the wounds that we've been carrying. We surrender it all to You. We lay it at the foot of Your cross. And God, the habits that keep raising its head, Father, we surrender those to You as well. We ask for Your forgiveness, and we ask that You set us free totally and completely. We ask that You would make us new, physically, spiritually, emotionally. God, we ask that You make us whole. Make all things new. The new life has come. The old life is gone because of the blood that You shed for all of us. Lord, we surrender to You and we make You the center of our life right here at the start of this new year, January 1st, 2023. Take us and use us for Your glory. We love You. We praise You in Jesus' mighty, holy, matchless name. This church said, amen and amen. Come on, why don't you put your hands together and rejoice with the angels of heaven because fresh starts were made in this place and at church online.